from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Settlers, that's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to an Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live, among other places, at toddstarnes.com. Happy New Year and hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for America's anchor man today from my home base at the Liberty University studio at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. Good to be with you to start this new year. 901-260-5926, that's the same number as always. And we'd love to hear from you as we start this new year, this Open Line Friday edition of the program, 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls starting in the next segment, but we are going to start right off by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And it is always a privilege to welcome to the program Dennis Neal. You know Mr. Neal from his work. Oh gosh, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Fox Business, CNBC. He, of course, is the author of the great book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. Dennis Neal, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the program.
It's great to talk to you, Jeff. Thanks for your time. It's a wonderful 2026, off to a fantastic start. The roaring 20s are here, baby.
Yeah, but you're in New York, right? Like you have been for four decades. I'm scared to death for people up there.
Yeah, and I am leaving New York come January 15th, moving down to South Florida. Although in this case, not because of commie mom Donnie, it's because of mom. I have an 87-year-old mom that needs a little more help right now, you know? So I'm leaving the city after that long. Look, you know, it's one thing to go into a small place like Portland, Oregon, which I've been studying for my next book, Oregoners, and look at how liberal, crazy policies just wrecked that city, okay? But New York is so big, so sprawling, you know, 6 million to 9 million in the metro area, that no one person's going to come in, really, and suddenly just destroy it. Yeah, property values could fall 20 to 30% in the next 5 years, maybe, but they will always come back. So I'm trying to take an optimistic look on that, even as I see already Mom Donnie making critical errors. You know, do you know that he said that we're going to end the suites of homeless camps, meaning homeless camping anywhere they want is going to presumably be allowed. Man, that went really bad for the people in Portland. It's a big, bad idea. Also, he just appointed a guy who was convicted of robbing taxi drivers, appointed him to be a justice advisor. And he's got another advisor who's kind of connected to the 9/11 or related the terror attackers. I mean, it's just bizarre, and I can't believe New York has gone for it. And maybe liberal voters just have to see, you know, have to hit bottom, see how bad it gets before they learn their ways.
You made such an excellent point, and I want to talk about Oregon and your forthcoming book, Oregoners, in a moment. But it is one thing, and God bless the people of Portland. You know, they don't deserve this either. But it's one thing for it to be Portland. It's another for it to be the financial capital of the world. And in any inauguration, you want to fire up your base. And I had no problem with him saying, I ran as a democratic socialist, whatever that is, and I'm going to govern as a democratic socialist. Okay, I get that. But we'll replace rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism? That is not only nonsensical, but frightening.
It's communism, collectivism, the collective, meaning everyone gets an equal share, regardless of how much effort or lack of effort you put into it. No way does that work in America. We were always about equal opportunity. We want to work to give you an equal shot at success that you earn yourself. But then along came the liberals, and they started talking more and more about equity, 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 which is equal outcome regardless of your own contribution. That's not the American way, that's for sure. That sure as heck is the socialist way, though. And, you know, where is he going to stop, and when is anyone going to stop him? My gosh, it's just amazing to see. You know, I did this book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. It offers 11 lessons. One lesson is Elon thinks that the most likely outcome in life is the most entertaining one, the most opposite of what you expect to happen. Well, the capitalist center of New York electing a socialist like Mamdani is the opposite, indeed, of what we would expect to happen.
Dennis Neal is our guest, the noted financial journalist. The book that was released just about a year ago, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. You get that wherever you get your good books these days. His forthcoming book, Oregoners. And I was struck by how quickly now some folks are taking the new mayor to task, pointing out that there were a couple of bad signals from the start. The one that his wife was wearing something like, what, $700 designer boots. That's not quite the collectivism that some had in mind. But they also, and I wouldn't know the difference, but they also, he was talking about this is now the people's government, the people's city. Well, first it was invitation only to the inauguration, which I understand from a security standpoint, but then they gathered people for a rally, and they could watch this on large screens, but there was no food, no place to use the bathroom. I think that's he's governing right from the start out of the socialism and communism playbook.
Right. And don't forget that as soon as he was elected, literally I think it was the next day, he was asking his donors for more money to pay for stuff. And you contrast that with Donald Trump, who wants to build the most lavish, beautiful, grand ballroom of all time on private money. And now who's got this, what is it, the triumphal arch, the arch of Trump, a kind of that he wants to build there. I mean, it's a total difference. You know, you go to Mar-a-Lago, Trump takes care of you, everything you can want. This guy is already imposing breadlines practically.
So when Mamdani, as a mayor-elect, went to the White House, who benefited the most from that meeting, the mayor or the president?
Let's think about this one. I haven't been asked this. This is a creative question. Look, here's the thing. I think it was more incumbent upon Mamdani to go there and smack the hand of the president and put him down. And so Mamdani lost because he went there and was utterly charmed by the guy. They had this one moment where a reporter says, Mamdani, just a few weeks ago, you were calling the president a fascist. And Mamdani starts to stumble and answer. And Trump reached out and touches him on the arm and says, it's okay. It's all right. You can tell him I'm a fascist. It's fine. And it was such a funny moment. And it shows you how empty a lot of that rhetoric really is. Because when you meet Trump in person, and I have years before he ran for president, he charms your socks off. He's a businessman. He understands that business is a relationship. You do more business with someone you like. And so this guy wants to be liked. But then so does every president. I met Bill Clinton after he left office. And man, he worked so hard to impress me in 10 minutes of conversation. And it was very touching that someone who himself had, been leader of the free world was still working hard to impress those around him, wanting the approval of strangers. I understand that because I got a job in television, and that's true of anyone who does that.
I also thought the image from the Oval Office was pure Trump, where often when he's meeting with someone, they sit in those chairs that flank the fireplace, or there might be a podium and they each are standing. In this case, Trump was seated at the desk, and Mamdani was to his side, almost like a lieutenant or an assistant. There was a power thing going on there that was subtle. But I agree with you when he reached out and said, it's all right, go ahead and call me a fascist. I don't care. You've got your brand to uphold, in other words.
Right. Right. So who looked weak in that moment and who looked strong? And Trump clearly looked stronger. I think that those positionings like that, don't you think, Jeff, they're on purpose, that they're thought out ahead of time? They're not random and they just kind of happen organically. I think they are instead kind of preconceived and scripted positioning like that, having him stand.
Oh, without question. I mean, and again, Trump, with his experience in entertainment, he knows blocking. He knows where to have people positioned, and it was just perfect. So what led Dennis Neal, noted financial journalist and author, to go to Oregon for his next book, forthcoming book called Oregoners, which, as we learned, will be written from the sunny clime of South Florida.
Yes. Well, and it's already underway. You know, as I was working on the Elon book, I became fascinated with his fear or severe reaction to this woke mind virus, right? I mean, it cost him dearly because he had an 18-year-old son who decided he was a woman. And, you know, I think he was pushed into, you know, agreeing to what he later realized was chemically castrating this boy so he could never father children. And he got so upset about that. And so I'm watching that, and I'm looking at the antics in Portland and those Antifa protesters at the ICE building. And then a big moment. Trump merely announces, let's send 200 National Guard troops in there. Well, the governor, the mayor, the entire congressional delegation, both the U.S. senators from Oregon, all of them were just so apoplectic about this. This is so terrible. This is so wrong. Guys, you've had protesters for 100 nights at a building in your largest city, and you think it's okay? And then I realized they're blinded and brainwashed. And then I started looking into some of the data and the numbers, and it's stunning. Oregon, for decades, was one of the most beautiful, thriving, you know, new hot tech centers and great food and all these hip, wonderful people. And boy, for decades, they thought they were all that. They were like the hottest blonde in the room. She knows everybody wants her. But now Oregon is anything but that. Oregon has really slid down. The past 5 years have been absolutely awful. It's lost 40,000 jobs in that rather small city in that time. It has four times the per capita rate of homelessness of the national average. It has 30%, I think it is, more people on SNAP than the national average. It just had unemployment hit 5.2%, which is something like 20% higher than the national average. It is a full percentage point higher than a year ago in Portland, even though neighboring counties 15 minutes away, other suburbs, have fully recovered from pre-COVID and everything that happened from COVID. Well, in Portland downtown, I just heard the mayor say when I was at a leadership summit a couple weeks ago, he said, oh, yeah, we're going to finally get back to foot traffic of 2019 in 2030. Oh, my gosh. And you think that's no one's fault but the natural forces? No, that is your fault. And this is a canary in the coal mine, Jeff, for liberal blue cities, purple states, purple cities everywhere. If you keep going with this ridiculously, relentlessly liberal policy, you will kill growth. You will get thousands of high earners and hundreds of businesses leaving your city. That's happening to Oregon. Do you know that? I apologize for the filibuster, Jeff, but now I'm on a rant, and I got to say things before I forget them. Okay. Do you know that in, I think it's 2020, the county of Multnomah, that enshrouds Portland and other towns, okay, passes this voter-approved proposal, let's have a nice little tax on the highest earners of $125,000 or $250,000 to fund preschool for all. That's great. Well, it's a tax of, I think, 1.5% on any income over $125,000. 3% on any income over $250,000. That's quite steep when it's a tax on your gross like that. Okay. Well, in 3 years, of the 1,000 highest taxpayers in Multnomah County, 300 left. That's 30%. That's shocking what you're doing to your richest earners, who are the most productive, who are paying you the most money into your government, and they're fleeing because you're taxing them way too much.
It is a tremendous case study, and the forthcoming book is Oregoners by Dennis Neal. I've got about a minute, so let's go right back where we started. And you said, welcome to the roaring 20s. What leads you to think that 2026 is going to be a rocket-fueled economy, other than places like Portland, perhaps?
Well, because there's a slingshot that's gone on in the first year. Trump's pulling back on the slingshot, and there's all this fear and uncertainty. And all the experts said the stocks were going to crash. We're going to have a global trade war. The tariffs are going to fail. Instead, things are going to be okay. And when you stop banging your head against the walls, the lack of pain is itself incredibly pleasurable. And I think we're going to finally get traction and go. And by the way, we just had a 4.3% GDP number. That is almost twice the national average of the past 10 or 20 years for GDP growth. That was on top of 3.8% the quarter before. Our stock market is at almost all-time highs, and half of the people in this country benefit from that. And we've got the AI upside, which is going to be incredible. And we've got the tariffs and the fact that it's fairer trade than it has been in 30 years, thanks to the Trump tariffs that everyone thought was going to be terrible. We're going to be fine. We're going to be better than that. Here we go.
What's Bugging Me is the name of the Dennis Neal podcast. You get it wherever, as our friend Wyatt Cox says, wherever fine podcasts are served. It's offered up by Ricochet and, of course, the leadership genius of Elon Musk, his most recent book. Dennis Neal, thank you for the always informative conversation and a great way to kick off this program for 2026. Safe travels to Florida.
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks so much for giving me that. Have a great day.
You as well. And Dennis Neal joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great way to start 2026, I would say. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join us for Open Line Friday. Your calls throughout the hour. By the way, Iowa Congressman Zach Nunn joins us in just about 10 minutes. A break now. Back on the other side, Jeff Stein in for Todd. And this is the Todd Starn Show.
Candles were lit on Bondi Beach by families, children, people of faith to celebrate a festival of light, a festival from Bible times, ones that Jesus himself celebrated. But instead of light, there was darkness, violence, fear, hatred showing itself at a time meant for prayer and rejoicing. Times like this remind us, even with the ceasefire in Israel, Jewish people are being targeted simply because of their faith. And times like this remind us why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews exists, to stand in the gap, providing safety and security to God's people. The fellowship brings together Christians and Jews to be a light to suffering Jews in Israel, the former Soviet Union, or wherever the needs are greatest. And your gift today will help provide that security that God's people so desperately need. Visit urgentifcj.org. That's one word, urgentifcj.org, or call now 866-338-IFCJ. That's 866-338-4325.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Friday. If you're interested in knowing more about what Dennis Neal thinks, and you should, he's very sharp on this. Again, his podcast, What's Bugging Me, wherever you can get your podcast, it's powered by Ricochet. He's usually on the Newsmax as well, on the original Newsmax Classic, as I would call it, usually Saturday mornings as well. And he's on the Twitter X machine, at Dennis Neal, K-N-E-A-L-E, the author of The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. Good, inspiring thoughts to start the new year, and let's hope that that economy really does take off. One thing that could really get in the way of that is Congress, as in there's a government shutdown looming in, what, 28 days? We'll talk with two-term Iowa Republican Zach Nunn, return guest to the program, about the likelihood of getting a budget passed or a deal done or something. And we'll talk with him also about the broad legislative agenda. What can Congress do in 2026? I have some ideas. We'll see what the congressman says, and that is in just a few moments. You know, I run this radio station here in Iowa. Quote, run it. I mean, I don't know. I'm pushing the buttons. And it was striking to me that yet again this year, all of these big fancy national hosts took two full weeks off. Like, we don't care. We're just taking our vacation. I don't know the last time that of grouping of people that they were on the air. It was, you know, mid-December. I can't even remember. But not America's anchorman, Todd Starnes. Oh, no. He's been here every single day of this and doing double duty on Newsmax as well. So I'm pleased to give him a chance to sit back and revel in yesterday's college football, etc. Todd will be back first of the week. Iowa Congressman Zach Nunn after the break, and then your calls after that at 901-260-5926. Jeff Stein from the Liberty University studio filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this open line Friday edition of the Todd Stearns Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, coming to you from the free state of Iowa on this open line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. It's 901-260-5926. Well, as we start this new year, one of the first things that Congress is going to have to address is money, spending. Remember the kick the can down the road bill that was passed that kept the government open, that ended the Schumer shutdown? Well, that runs out at the end of the month. This is the fourth month of the 12-month fiscal year, and we're still operating on old budgets. Just continuing resolutions. We're going to talk to an Iowa congressman today about how to get past that and what else might be on the legislative agenda for 2026. I was struck by the president over this, again, holiday season, and I mentioned before the break that you had a number of pundits and folks who talk on the radio just take a couple of weeks off. Well, you want to talk about not taking time off. How about the President of the United States? Gives some extra time off around the Christmas holiday for federal workers. And instead of just soaking up the sun at Mar-a-Lago, which he certainly could have done, instead he's got the President of Ukraine showing up. Then he's got the Prime Minister of Israel showing up. And oh, by the way, you folks in Iran were locked and loaded. That's the phrase that the president used in the Truth Social post. And I want to get the reaction from Congressman Zach Nunn, Republican, 3rd District of Iowa. He is also a full bird colonel in the Air Force Reserve. Congressman Nunn, thanks for joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and Happy New Year.
Jeff, Happy New Year to you too, brother. And coming from the great state of Iowa, where gas prices are down to $1.89 here, just filled up the family truck here, is good news for American consumers. But it's also the result of energy independence that's happening from legislation we passed this year. And it's also holding guys like the Ayatollah in Iran accountable for their illicit behavior, and something the president clearly is fired up about, protecting American interests.
Okay, I'm going to have you text me the location of a place where you're getting gas for $1.89. I'm still at, I think, $2.39, but I'm still grateful for that. But as someone who still wears the uniform, as someone who's a member of the U.S. Congress, when you hear the president through a social media post say, "Don't go shooting those protesters like you guys like to do. We are locked and loaded." What's that do for a person in uniform?
Well, I'll be very clear. I spent nearly 20 years flying combat operations across the Middle East, both as a frontline guy and as a commander. I never want to see boots on the ground without a clear objective associated with it. Here's where I think the president hits the nail on the head. The Ayatollah in Iran has used illicit oil sources to funnel money to groups like the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, who have taken pot shots at Americans, lobbed missiles at U.S. carrier strike groups, and back-channel money to terrorist groups, including those that have tragically taken the lives of Americans. Just this week, we buried two Iowa National Guards members who died as a result of Islamic radicalism that showed up in the Middle East. I don't want to see this happen again. I think the president is right to take a strong deterrent here against the Ayatollah. I also think he's right to stand with the Iranian people themselves. They want to see change. They've been asking for this my entire life. We're at 46 years now since the revolution, and the Ayatollah has made Iran a much worse, much more dangerous country, and certainly a hotbed for funding terrorism. It's one of the reasons that I've led legislation to sanction Iranian oil tankers, their ghost fleet. The president's gone after them just here this month, and we're cutting off their ability to fund themselves. Standing with the Iranian people is not a bad thing ever, particularly when they're trying to have their own version of an American revolution, throwing off a dictatorial regime that's over them. But it's up for the Iranian people to do this. The American government should not be the one leading the charge on this. And I think the president's clear that, you know, we stand in support of people who want democracy in their country, but they're the ones who are going to have to take point.
Zach Nunn, Congressman, 3rd District of Iowa, nunn.house.gov, his campaign website, because, yes, we're in that season again, zachnunn.com. There's a nice subtle donate button if you're so inclined. And Congressman Nunn joins us on the Todd Starn Show live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So as you return to Washington, the number I saw, and I may be off by a day or two, there are only 12 session days scheduled between now and the end of the month, and that's when the latest continuing resolution expires. What do you think is going to happen? What's the talk? What are the plans to avoid another Schumer shutdown?
Well, Jeff, we saw the tragedy of this occur under Schumer before, when the government was shut down its longest ever in history because Democrats couldn't figure out why they wanted to shut down. They just know for campaign purposes they had primaries they had to win. Here's the reality. We are able to move forward multiple appropriations bills. We were able to get several through for things like ag, for transportation, for defense. This is the way government should be functioning. I want to see it continue to operate that way. At the same time, you know, we have a very short runway, and I hate to say this, but in Washington, D.C., the only way you get some of these folks to get their job done is to hold a match under their feet, and we're about to hold a blowtorch to Washington, D.C.'s feet on saying we have got to get our spending down, our bills passed, and we need to be able to do it in 12 days, as you know here. Now, what the Democrats are going to do is they're going to try and jam folks in the Senate. I really hope this does not return to a shutdown scenario where we don't pay our troops, we don't pay our air traffic controllers, we see Americans suffer at the hands of D.C. Democrats who candidly couldn't manage to lead when they had the majority and now are being obstructionists when they're stuck in the minority. That said, I feel very confident we've got a aggressive agenda here in the House. We've already passed a lot here in December, and so we're teed up for success when we march in the door on Monday.
One of the things that has been a claimed sticking point, and I concur with what you suggested, that so much of the Democrat action was politically motivated to win elections and just have those talking points, but their perceived or their espoused reason for shutting things down, healthcare subsidies, et cetera. Now, granted, that's something that they set up with all of this extra money going to insurance companies. But one thing that the Republicans were able to do as part of the reconciliation bill that folks are just now starting to learn, rural areas, and a lot of folks in this audience in Starnes Nation are living in rural areas, access to health care is really difficult, and there was a pile of money in that reconciliation bill that has just been awarded. That's going to make a big difference for a lot of folks in between the big cities where actually most of us live.
Jeff, you're absolutely right. This puts $50 billion back to our rural hospitals, and we want to make sure that primary health care access is something that's available for every American, not just those living in big blue cities. I also want to make sure that we've got the workforce there that's going to be successful. So what part of our investment is doing is my bill, it's called the Train More Nurses Act. Let's just get more nurses into our community hospitals, our assisted living facilities, so that rural Iowa has a real chance to be successful here. We're also leading things like rural broadband that help make sure that telehealth medicine is real. And we're providing transparency for our local pharmacists, getting rid of the middleman in pharmaceuticals, the PBMs that drive up these costs that mean it's more expensive to buy a prescription here in the United States than it is in Canada or Mexico. makes zero sense. These are real tangibles that we can offer up to rural America to be successful. And, Jeff, I want to join you. Look, I think we all recognize healthcare in America has some real hard breaks in it. It makes no sense that it costs, every American more for their healthcare, or that you can go in to see a doctor and you don't know what your final cost is going to be until months later when an insurance company sends you the bill for it. We need price transparency. We need to fix the Unaffordable Care Act that drove up premiums for people on the ACA by as much as 26%. And we need to recognize that there are insurance companies that prior to Obamacare were, making profits of about $500 billion, and now they're up to over nearly $2 trillion. That doesn't make sense because that's not money reinvested in healthcare. That's money that's going directly to health insurance companies. They're not returning it back to, providers like us. Bottom line, I want to see healthcare costs come down, not just for folks who are on the Unaffordable Care Act. I want to see them come down for every single American. We passed legislation in the House that brings it down double digits. I think this is a pathway to success. And being able to give patients and our medical providers, not just in rural Iowa, but across the United States, more transparency is going to make healthcare much better for everybody.
Congressman Zach Nunn, 3rd District of Iowa, Republican, joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Open Line Friday. The problem, as I see it, though, is that you've got a situation that was passed by Democrats that has led to enhanced costs, not fewer costs. It's very much like when we had these guaranteed federal student loans. They were there for a good purpose, to help people get through school. But when the federal government's writing the check, the universities, and I worked for colleges and universities for 25 years, as you know, there was no incentive for them to drop tuition because the kids would just get these loans. That's not sustainable. Same thing here. If you're going to subsidize the premiums, where's the incentive for the healthcare industry to actually be affordable? The problem is the Republicans, and this predates your time in the chamber, there's been no good alternative yet. So why do we think 2026 is the year where the Republicans can actually come up with an anti-Obamacare plan that will work?
Well, Jeff, you're absolutely right on this. The reality is the costs continue to go up. One of the concerns we have here is that we want to make sure we're providing health care plans so that nobody falls off a cliff. Now, the transition point is real. The Democrats built in their own, trap door where the bottom fell out on it, and they were going to expect the American taxpayer to pick up the cost for their bloated government spending plan, and now they don't have control of government. So they're asking Republicans to come bail them out. This gives Republicans the first time since Obamacare was passed to make smart reforms to health care that actually help Americans get the health care they need at a price they can afford. It also calls out both the insurance companies who have gotten, as you noted, COVID-era tax subsidies that have been out there for the last 5 years. Those need to sunset. They should have sunset, years ago, but they've still been pumped into it. And as opposed to bringing down healthcare costs, they're driving up healthcare costs for hundreds of millions of Americans. We look to be able to drive down our costs across the board by 11%. We're allowing folks now to enroll in exchanges, which are going to help drive down communal costs. And also, they're going to help our healthcare system across the country, not just a couple of the big guys who have health insurance programs out of places like New York and California. I also want to highlight here, Jeff, this is an opportunity where real bipartisan work could have come together. This is something we should all agree on. But I know this much. I know that every single Democrat voted against any of these reforms. Every single Democrat in Congress refused to do any type of transparency action, PBM reform, real things that would help both our patients and our doctors be more successful. That's not a pathway to success. That's trying to double down on a failed system that is clearly going to bankrupt the taxpayer and cost us all more.
So in that transition, and it's a painful transition, are you going to have to approve a bridge of some Obamacare subsidies just to get us through this year, which, of course, is an election year, and I'd be foolish if I didn't remind everyone of that?
Yeah, I think there's a real opportunity for us to make a transition for folks who are on here. In my home state of Iowa, 4% of folks are eligible for those subsidies, and maybe only about half of them have actually filed a claim. So we're talking about less than 2%. I want to focus on the 100% of Iowans who need health care insurance and talk about bringing all of their premiums down. The legislation that we helped pass would bring down everybody's premium by 10% or more. I think that's a pretty darn good start to where we need to be. And I want to make sure that no family falls off. We've got a number of additional ways that folks can get the assistance they need. And that's one of the reasons we've led in, constituent services, particularly in the healthcare area nationwide, of taking care of Iowans who need it.
And I like hearing that lastly, that, the idea is let's focus on the entire system. I want you to highlight something that you mentioned, that this was mentioned to me the other day, and I did not do the research on it, and you have the round numbers. When we start talking about these subsidies, et cetera, how much of the population is really going to be noticing this issue this year if there are no renewed COVID-era subsidies? Because we make a big deal about a very small percentage of people. Now, no one should be left behind. I'm not suggesting that. But to shut down the government over what percentage of people in the population, it seems rather tiny if it's only a couple of percent per state.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on this. And so, overall nationwide, and these are numbers directly from the Government Accountability Office here, the GAO, who have highlighted that, fewer than 7% of Americans even qualify for these subsidies. Less than half of those have actually filed for some type of premium, meaning that money went directly to insurance companies and not actually to patient care. And that's the first red flag. The second aspect of this, and I'll just talk to my home state in Iowa, maybe 100,000 folks would qualify for this, less than half of those. So now we're talking about 2% of all folks on health care insurance in Iowa are impacted by this. And those folks do have other methods largely available to them to help offset that. And let's be clear here. We're not talking about just taking away people's health care. We're talking about taking the tax subsidies that were put out under COVID to help drive down expenses and costs and reforming how those are handed out. The reality is it was a partial assistance program to a very small percentage of the population back during COVID. COVID is 5 years in the rearview mirror now, but we've continued to blast money, and as I noted, almost half of that going just directly to insurance companies. That should have driven down the overall cost for healthcare in our country. But instead, we've actually seen it increase by 26% for those folks who are on the ACA. That is money in the pocket of healthcare or health insurance companies, and then an extra charge on top of it for every American.
I'm way late on the break, but lastly, best Christmas gift you got was what?
I got to spend the entire 2 weeks with my six kiddos. That I had kids home from college. I had the kindergarten home as well. And here in Ankeny, Iowa, where I will say the gas is $1.85 for anybody who's driving through town, this is the right place to join. So those two in combination, best gift I could get. Jeff, I hope it was just as fun for you.
Well, I noticed you hesitated a moment because you're thinking if I mention any gift, then I'm choosing a gift of one of my children, and I can't do that. So a good save. And the only thing I tell you right now about Ankeny, Iowa is the gas may be cheap, but I think every road's under construction. I'm not sure I can get to the gas station.
That's because so many people are coming here right now.
There we go. Look at that.
Stop on through on I-80, I-35 across the great state of Iowa.
Doesn't matter what I serve up. He's batting it right back. Congressman, Happy New Year to you. Thank you for the time. Great way to start the year. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds great, Jeff. Happy New Year.
Congressman Zach Nunn, he's in his second term, Republican, 3rd District of Iowa. That's the Des Moines metro area and a lot of rural Iowa to the south and around it. Zach Nunn, NUNN.com, his campaign website, nunn.house.gov, is the official website. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Short break now, back on the other side from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show.
'Twas a night with ADT. Home safe and secure. No worry, no stress. Your peace was assured. But outside arose such a clatter and sound. Good thing your cameras were keeping watch all around. Inside, always calm, not a worry drew near. Each loved one protected, enjoying good cheer. So this holiday season, let safety be key. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com and keep home worry-free.
All right, that's 1 hour down and 2 hours to go on this Open Line Friday. So good of you to be along. Appreciate it. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Stay tuned. You've got news and weather at the top of the hour, and we're back with hour two on the Starn Show.
Here, there are beaches as wide open as your plans and waterfront towns more charming than you could ever imagine. Ready for the perfect spring getaway? Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live, among other places, at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, coming to you today, as per custom, from the Liberty University studio in my home base in the free state of Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. And it's an Open Line Friday, and we have held this hour for your calls. And I would love to hear from you on some of the news or what you think might happen in 2026. Same number as always, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan is handling the call screening. Helen is at the controls of the mighty Wurlitzer, and we're off and running in this great new year, 2026. And it occurs to me a lot of us make resolutions to start the new year, and we don't follow through with them, right? I think the statistics show that we're good for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 days, and then we start breaking all of our resolutions. So maybe a better thing to do is to come up with resolutions for other people. In other words, what resolutions do you think other people should have for the year? Talk about that or whatever you like. 901-260-5926, your calls throughout this hour. Now, one of the things, if I was going to come up with a resolution, it would be for Congress to do its job. And in the last hour, you heard the conversation with an Iowa congressman, and I think he's a good guy. I think he really believes in service, and he, whenever he introduces a piece of legislation, he looks for support across the aisle. The problem is, broadly, the dysfunction of Washington, D.C. D.C. is just flat-out broken. And you would like to think that the leadership in Congress could fix it. And despite the fact that Leader Thune in the Senate was quoting all manner of statistics about how many votes they have taken this year, and it's a record number, etc., I don't know. I don't feel like Congress accomplished all that much, especially as we sit here and there are only 12 days Congress is in session before the continuing resolution expires. 12 days that they're going to be working in January before a government shutdown. Potentially. I don't care who you blame. It's a bad idea. It's a bad look. You see so many people leaving Congress this year, and many of them are running for jobs in their home states. There are a lot of folks leaving to run for governor, for example. You do have some members of the House running for the U.S. Senate, etc. But here's the question I have for all of these folks who are running, saying, I'm leaving Washington, I know how to deliver for the home state. Don't you think that voters are going to say, what did you do there? What kind of a success were you there? What leads us to think that we should give you the keys to the Treasury, the keys to the state capitol. I think, personally, this is going to be an anti-incumbent year. It has nothing to do with who's in the White House. It has everything to do with neither party showing leadership that Americans deserve in the U.S. Congress. You may have a net gain or loss for one party or the other, but I think this is going to be an anti-incumbent year. And I think you could see some surprising results. Now, this is only, as we're speaking, the second day of the year. There's plenty of time for Congress to get its act together. Start by not shutting down the government at the end of January. Start by fixing a number of other things. But this could be a year where you see a lot of flips. Now, as noted, I am in the state of Iowa, which a lot of people think is a very red state. Recently, election returns would suggest that, yes. But it's really sort of a purple state, and I'm here to tell you that at this time next year, it would not surprise me. We have an open seat for governor and an open seat for U.S. Senate. I think it's the only state in the country that has an open seat for both governor and U.S. Senate in 2026. They're both currently held by Republicans, and I'm here to tell you, I think they're both going to be held by Democrats by this time next year. This is not a wave of one color or another. But it's because of the specific races. You have certain people running who have a history of being in Congress, and I think there are going to be a lot of voters who say, what did you do in the House that leads us to think you should be elected to the Senate? What did you do in the House that leads us to think you should be elected governor? And these are valid questions to ask, because my fear is that what we are hearing from so many politicians on the right side of the aisle is, I am a strong supporter of Donald Trump. Good. You should be. He's your president. But what have you done to act that way? And this is why I have a real problem with Congress right now. If Congress... And I understand all the problems of keeping a thin majority in line. I understand all the problems of the Senate. I get it. But how about you try? For example, if you were really a strong supporter of this president, and he has imposed tariffs, and you know that they're being challenged in court, why don't you, as Congress, put the tariffs into law? For all these people saying the president does not have the power, and that's a U.S. Supreme Court case that's pending right now, why don't you go pass them yourself? You're Congress. Go ahead and pass it. If you don't like that, what about all these executive orders? You folks have complained mightily about government by executive order. And doesn't matter who the president is, they just flip it back. You get the auto pen in, and they undo what the other guy did, and then you undo the auto pen. We shouldn't have government by executive order. Okay. So if you're really supportive of the Trump agenda, how about you take some of those executive orders and put them into law? Those can't just be overturned by the stroke of a pen. So if you're really a member of Congress and you're really a big supporter of Donald Trump, how about you pass some of his executive orders as laws? Put them into bill form. You've got a congressional office that writes bills. Start with number one. I don't even remember what number one was. But start with number one and work your way through the executive orders. Codify them. Put them into law. Or at least try to. You could do that. And if having Congress enact legislation to codify the tariffs, codify executive orders, in other words, make all of those laws, if that's too much to ask, how about you just pass a budget on time? I've heard about certain spending bills, and they've made it through this chamber or that, but the bottom line is we're nowhere near regular order. That's the process of X number of spending bills passed independently as opposed to this, heaven forbid, mess of a continuing resolution. How about you just do your business? I don't get the sense of urgency from most of these people. And so when they say, as they run for re-election or election to another office. Hey, I am the biggest supporter Donald Trump has. I see this in primaries. A lot of elbows being thrown. Who's the biggest Trump supporter? Well, talk is cheap. How about actually delivering on things to support the president's agenda? And if you don't believe in the president's agenda, okay, great. Say so. Be woman or man enough to say so. But when you are telling everybody you're the best friend Donald Trump ever had, and I'm looking at the list of accomplishments, I don't see it. If you're saying you're the best friend Donald Trump ever had just because you're running for office, well, that's great. But voters are savvy enough and the information's available to them, they could say, well, really, what have you done? Well, we did the reconciliation bill, the big, beautiful bill, 6 months ago, almost to the day, 6 months ago. How about another one? How about anything else? That's the problem, I think, that we have in Washington is you've got Congress used to the snail's pace, and you've got an American public supporting a president that's ready to go. So where's the holdup? Don't tell me you want a promotion. Don't tell me you want a renewal of your job because you're a great supporter of the president when you've done very little to show that you are. And again, if you're not, say so. Don't be a standard politician. Here we are, the 250th year of the brave 56 who signed the Declaration of Independence. 250 years since that happened. The American people want that kind of spirit again. And they're not seeing it right now out of Washington. 901-260-5926. Whew, I got that off my chest. Would love to know what you think about that. Or make up some New Year's resolutions for other people. What should certain other people do in this new year, 2026? It's an open line Friday, 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment as we continue from the Liberty University studio. Thanks for being along. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and you're listening to the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Join this coast-to-coast conversation on an open line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Happy to hear what's on your mind, and I've suggested maybe we should come up with resolutions for other people. Since we never keep our own, maybe we'd be better telling other people what they ought to do. And I've suggested Congress could start by actually doing its job. Love to know what you think. 901-260-5926. You may have seen, and I'm sure it's been discussed, but I was struck by the Biden family Christmas card. Now, by the way, I have some friends who say you can always tell when a talk show host has run out of material because they start talking about Joe Biden. I don't know if that's true or not, but I want to go back to this Christmas photo. Here's a photo of the Biden family. Now, Joe's the guy, right? The big guy. They've got him photoshopped in, tucked behind Dr. Jill. And of all people, Robert Hunter Biden, his full name, as we learned from the court pleadings, is front and center. It's like he's the guy in charge of the family now. I would love if he decided to take up a political career because, you know, those five-hour podcasts that he does with people are great. In any case, you don't even see all of Joe's face, and he's kind of tucked in there behind Dr. Jill and the editing. I don't know much about this stuff. I do a little bit of it, but it's like, this is clumsy. I'm not sure he's even in the picture. Is my point. I think they just kind of photoshopped him in there, which I don't know. What's his condition? I'm not sure it matters. But I also wonder, and I just don't remember, maybe one of you does, I don't remember the last time a former president like that, who had no future political career, when did they start issuing all of these photos and things? You know, here's the Christmas message. I don't know, did George W. Bush, do they publish big Christmas photos, family Christmas photos? Doubt it. So I fear that we're not done with the Biden crime family yet. But as noted, okay, fine, bring it on. I'm also not one of those, though, who says, let's wish for the other party to put some really bad candidate out there. And the reason is because sometimes elections are stolen and sometimes voters don't pay attention and they elect these people. So I don't necessarily want to have bad people on ballots, because sometimes bad people wind up winning elections. But boy, I tell you, you get Hunter out there now taking shots at the people who didn't support his dad. Boy, make some popcorn, because that could be plenty entertaining. In the last hour, we talked about this embarrassment in New York City with the new mayor. And it was striking how this is the new Democrat Party. And I've heard a lot of people say, and it's true, this is not your grandfather's Democrat Party. No, it isn't. It isn't your father's Democrat Party. Because this really isn't about Democrats. It's about socialists. And I don't care, you can call it democratic socialism. That's an oxymoron. Being promoted by morons, come to think of it. But nothing shows how this works in practice than to have the, I guess it's the First Lady of New York, wearing $700 footwear, and as the swell kids all get together for the rally and the swearing in and all of this, that's by invitation only. The unwashed masses are allowed to gather in a park to watch on big screens. So everybody was invited to show up, but they didn't have proper restroom facilities or food. So yes, that's exactly what socialism is like. This is what you voted for, you people who have not yet left New York. And I try not to make too much of little things like this, individual situations, because most of us are out working every day. We're out in the heartland of the country. We're the ones who are making it happen. So who the mayor of New York is or isn't probably doesn't make a lot of difference to our daily lives, but it's an image. It's a symbol. If, in fact, that is the financial capital of the world, has been, there are a lot of folks who are coming up with alternate currencies and a lot of nations trying to come up with their own standards so that we don't have to use the dollar as the base. To have the financial center of the world led by someone who does not believe in capitalism, the warmth of collectivism, or there is a phrase, I don't think that speaks well. And again, what can one guy do to screw things up? Well, when you hate Jews, when you hate capitalism, when you want to drag down the government, they could do a lot. So it bears watching. And if you're in an area that's thinking, oh, that's kind of where the cool kids are hanging out, look deeper. Do not let it happen. Don't let this happen to you. 901-260-5926. Your calls on the other side of the break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and this Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. 901-260-5926. That is the number to call to join the Coast to Coast conversation, and we'll take your calls. We've reserved time the rest of this hour. Coming up at the top of the next hour, return guest to the program, national news analyst and attorney, Dr. Wendy Patrick will talk about some of the new laws that have gone into effect for 2026. Your tax dollars at work. We'll have that conversation in about 30 minutes or so. So you're familiar with the folks at Real Clear Politics. Now, they made their name over time by creating poll of polls. In essence, they would find a variety of polls taken on similar topics and then merge the results so that rather than one outlier poll here on a high end, one outlier poll there on the low end, this gave you sort of the average of how people felt on various issues. And they've done pretty well and expanded the services that they offer. But that's how it started. Real Clear Politics was, in essence, a poll of polls on a certain issue. And they've put together an end-of-the-year report. And I want to share some of the data because it is of interest. Now, a couple of caveats for you. We all know that polling underrepresents Trump supporters. We've known this ever since he came down the golden escalator. That having been said, these are still pretty interesting numbers. So if you assume that these supposedly mainstream polls come out this way, it's not bad. And if you factor in the idea that Trump underperforms in polls because people either don't want to participate or there's bias or whatever, it's not too bad headed into 2026. So Real Clear Politics notes that President Trump ended the year with an approval rating, this aggregate approval rating of 43.4%. Trafalgar and others have it higher. They're pretty trustworthy, I would say, but let's just play this out. The average approval rating was 43.4% at the end of the year. Now, yes, that's down 7%, 7 points, from the beginning of the year, which was in the shadow of a major election. All right, so hard to maintain that level. But what's interesting is that after year one of this term, Mr. Trump is more popular than he was after the first year of his first term. So you hear all of the people who supposedly know stuff saying, oh, the president's approval rating is down 7 points from the beginning of the year. Yeah, but he's more popular now than at this same point in 2017 by about 4 points. So that's a good sign going into 2026 in terms of getting things done. By the way, in historical terms, Mr. Trump did just as well in this second term, first year of his second term, as his predecessors. In fact, the Trump approval rating during the last 6 months of the year was better than both Barack Obama's and George W. Bush's during the same point in their respective presidencies. In other words, those who say, well, Trump's really dropped, take a look at what happened to Obama in his second term in terms of popularity. Take a look at what happened to W in terms of popularity in his second term. Trump's scoring higher. Trump is more popular. Now, I've got a little more on this, but this is the part where you pull out your highlighter and note, for those members of Congress who don't have the strength to enact the president's agenda, he's the popular one. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment. All right, so Trump still more popular than his predecessors, more popular at this point in this term than he was in his first term. At the beginning of 2025, just 1 year ago, only 26.7% of Americans said the country was headed in the right direction. That's the legacy of the auto pen. That's the legacy of Joe Biden. Only 26.7% of Americans said the country was headed in the right direction as the year began. 61.9% said we were on the wrong track. Now, when you do the math on those, that's a net spread, and the net negative was 35.2. In other words, 35.2% more said we were on the wrong track than the right track. Well, by the end of the year, that deficit had been cut in half. In a year with a record-long government shutdown, and all of the headwinds that the president had to face, there was a big improvement in the number of Americans who said, we're on the right track again. 37.5% of us now say the country's headed in the right track. Only 55.6% say we're on the wrong track. Greatly improved in less than 1 year. And who is the architect of that? It's the guy in the White House. And you know that especially because the numbers with regard to disapproval for Congress did not change. Congress was not well thought of when the year started, and they're still not well thought of. It's within the margin of error. Barely 22% of Americans approve of the job Congress is doing. Only 22%. More than two-thirds, 68%, disapprove of the House and Senate. So who's the popular guy? Who's the one that Americans want to support? And who do we not trust at all? You've got a popular president, number one. Congress is just as unpopular as ever, no change. So they've done nothing to distinguish themselves and therefore nothing to get credit for this much larger number of people who say we're on the right path now as opposed to a year ago. Now, we always hear that in a midterm election, the party who has the White House, they lose a bunch of seats. That's just tradition. And in fact, in the first Trump administration, the loss was much less than was historically the case. But given how small these margins are, these elections are vital. They're very, very important. The GOP is losing ground on what's known as the generic ballot. Now, what's the generic ballot, friends? Well, this is where you say in a poll question, if the election were held today, would you prefer to vote for a Republican or a Democrat? No names, not talking about putting names next to party affiliation, just general feeling about the party. Because you start putting names next to these things and it's very different, right? For the same reason that people in these polls say that they hate Congress, but they like their person. They like the person they voted for. So the individuals, when names are attached, are always higher. All right, but this is the generic ballot. When the year began, right after the big Trump victory, right after a majority in both chambers given to the Republicans, the GOP had a lead over Democrats in a generic ballot. Again, it makes sense. People had just voted and done this. So at the beginning of 2025, Republicans had a 1.5 percentage point lead over Democrats in this. Who would you vote for, a Republican or a Democrat, generic question? At the end of the year, where we are right now, the Democrats hold an advantage of 3.4%. So that's a 5.5 percentage point swing. That's not good trending. However, it is much smaller a shift than we have seen in the past. After the first year of President Trump's first term, Democrats held the lead in this generic ballot 12.9%. They barely have the lead now. So again, the trending is not what you would like. But because of the Trump agenda, the party is in a much better position going into this midterm election than was the case in 2018. This is the wake-up call for congressional Republicans. Mr. Trump is not on the ballot by name. There are a lot of folks who support him, but don't support the whole party. Trumpicans, if you will. Democrats did the same thing when Obama was around. His coattails were not at all long. And I called those voters Obamacrats. So we have Trumpicans, folks who vote for Trump. And they will vote for other Republicans for Congress. And arguably up and down the line, but let's just stick with Congress. If those people are doing the things to advance the Trump agenda. It's not happening enough from Congress. You can tell me about the Democrats being obstructionists all you want. You can tell me about how hard it is to get anything done with a very slim majority. Tell me that all you want. I get it. But I need to see some action. I need some productivity here. I need you to enact his agenda because he's the popular one. He's the one that Americans have said they want to support. So the key to Republicans holding on to the majority in the House and the Senate is to follow the Trump agenda, and not just with lip service, with real, tangible action. As we talked about earlier, first do your own job and pass a darn budget. While you're at it, pass a multi-year farm bill. That's only 2 years behind schedule. And that does not just impact farmers. Most of the spending in the farm bill goes to nutrition broadly. So it's a misnomer to even call it a farm bill. But the bottom line is, if you want to eat, and I like to eat, but if you want to eat, better get a farm bill passed. Get your budget passed. Do your job, Congress. And while you're at it, then how about you put some of these tariffs into law? How about you put some of these executive orders into law? You just saw the mayor of New York take the oath on a Koran. Stop it. But the first thing he did was rescind all of Mayor Adams's executive orders. And he was a Democrat. So when the next person comes in and starts undoing everything, and you had the chance to put this stuff into law so we wouldn't have to worry about little girls worrying about men in locker rooms and all other issues like this, you had the chance to fix it, make it permanent, and you didn't? You don't deserve the seat. So here it is. It's a brand new year. It's 2026. I'll forgive your transgressions in 2025. Come back on, I think it's Tuesday. I'm not even sure they're back Monday. But in any case, when you come back, get to work. Get to work for the American people and the agenda that they support. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation on an open line Friday. 901-260-5926. We continue from the Liberty University studio after this short break. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today on this open line Friday, 901-260-5926. If you'd like to join this coast-to-coast conversation, we'll talk with legal analyst Wendy Patrick coming up just after the top of the next hour. And there are some rather crazy laws that have been put into place as of the new year 2026. A couple of lawyers will talk about them coming up after the top of the hour. And she will join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, always supporting freedom of speech, always supporting freedom of religion. And that's why Patriot Mobile is a perfect partner for the Todd Starnes radio program. Now, here we are in 2026, and we're very concerned about how we spend our money, and we want to make sure that we're spending it with people and businesses that align with our values. I work hard for my money, and I want to make sure that I'm not supporting causes I don't believe in. Well, Patriot Mobile takes care of that. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're actually supporting organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom, First Liberty, Concerned Women for America, etc. So not only are you getting dependable nationwide coverage, you're making sure your hard-earned money goes to a business that supports the causes you believe in. Now, that nationwide coverage, you get access to all three major networks. Same coverage you've been used to, and you're not funding the left. Isn't that a good thing? Congress, pay attention to the model. Patriot Mobile's 100% U.S.-based, thank you very much, customer service team makes switching very easy. You can keep your number. You can keep your phone or you can upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. They're not going to force you into anything that doesn't work for you. A lot of options. And it is a tremendous resource. So go to patriotmobile.com/Todd and you can learn much more. You can also call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And by the way, you get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So make the switch today. So many Starnes Nation followers have. It's patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call them at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use the offer code Todd when you do that. And as noted, guests on this program appear on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So we're all concerned about Somalians in Minnesota scamming the government. Well, we're not all concerned with that. Some of the formerly mainstream media are much more concerned with the messenger. You know, when you have someone who is documenting all of these cases of fraud, as Nick Shirley has on the YouTube clip and everything else, you would think some of the traditional news outlets might investigate. So, for example, if he says somebody is scamming the system, if you were a journalist in the traditional way, you'd go check to see if that was true and then report on it. In other words, you'd see if the claim is valid. What he is saying, is it valid? Nope. That's not what you're seeing from some of the public broadcasters up there. Their stories are entitled, "Who is Nick Shirley?" Well, it doesn't matter to a very large degree because it comes down to if they cannot rebut the assertions, then they try to discredit the messenger. It is a standard tactic, and it is the kind of thing that most people are plenty sick of, but that's what's going on. They're trying to deter people like Mr. Shirley from telling the truth. That's why he's now the subject of threats and family members being doxxed and all the rest. But I find it interesting that those in the formerly mainstream media, when allegations are made against some of their favorite groups, they don't check out the allegations. They instead try to kill the messenger. Keep that in mind. We'll talk about that more in the next hour. Liberty University Studios, the location, 901-260-5926. Queue up. We'll take your calls in the next hour. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along in the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of an Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live all over the place, including at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the Liberty University studio at my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. 901-260-5926. That's how you can connect with the program as always, 901-260-5926. We have reserved plenty of time for your calls because this is Open Line Friday, and we'll take your calls starting in the next segment. But I want to start this hour by going directly to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome a return guest to the program. She's nationally known news analyst, career prosecutor, and author Wendy Patrick. Her most recent book is entitled Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship. You get it wherever you get good books these days. Dr. Patrick, Happy New Year, and thanks for taking the time.
Happy New Year to you, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to join you.
This is an occupational hazard that you and I have. I am an attorney. You are an attorney. And we also comment on what's going on in the world. And so at the start of every year, there are new laws that are passed. And we tend to look at this as a state-by-state thing. And some of these make sense. In my state of Iowa, we now have a hands-free law that I'm going to have to really get used to when driving. There are lists of some of these interesting, shall we say, laws. And I don't know if they're trends or if they're just experiments, but of the ones that you've taken a look at, what jumps out at you? There are a couple that have come to my attention, but what jumps out to you as something interesting to note?
You know, Jeff, what jumps out to me every year is the reality that the laws really follow the social trajectory of the nation. What do I mean by that? Artificial intelligence. We are talking about the way in which that is impacting our day-to-day life. So naturally, I was not surprised that different states are attempting to decide how to regulate something that is almost unregulatable. They seem to be focusing on transparency, making sure that if companies are using artificial intelligence, that they are relaying that to the customer and that they are avoiding manipulation. You know, our AI is used in writing police reports, in doing Google searches, in automating the way in which we're sent to a representative. You know, we dial a number nowadays and we just keep saying representative. But all of these types of laws like that seem to be geared to what consumers are important. I'll give you another couple. There's all kinds of laws about animals and how we keep registries of, for example, the same way we do sex offenders, domestic abusers. There are some animal abuse registries now. And again, that reflects the reality that we have the ability to keep lists of people that might be dangerous for certain reasons. And as long as we balance those privacy concerns and in a fashion that is legal, we are allowed to have registries like that. And I suppose the third one I'll say that's really important is we're always looking at traffic and traffic safety. When we think about things like self-driving cars, when we think about food delivery services, the ways in which transportation has evolved, even over the last 5 years, there are always lots of laws across the nation that try to figure out how can we keep both pedestrians and drivers safer. So, for example, in my state, the Department of Transportation is allowed to lower, that's a first for lots of years, lower the speed limit in areas where there's been a lot of accidents.
Those are all really interesting. And what I find is, and this is a function of law, law tries to govern behavior, and often we're playing catch up. I don't want to say always, but quite often we're playing catch up. And the technology and AI realm is one of these, because this thing just shot out of a cannon and we're now trying to put the genie back into the bottle. It's really hard to do that, especially with young people, isn't it?
Well, we're trying to keep the genie in a transparent bottle. That is the thing with AI, is nobody can deny that we use it every day in some form. But when you talk about these large language models and generative AI, like a lot of people don't even know what those things mean. So the bottom line with things like AI is you have to make sure that when, not if, when you use it as a course of your business, people know how you use it and where you're getting the data, because you don't want completely biased data because somebody is programming it. You know, for example, to only search a small subset of information that has some sort of a bias or a bent, those kinds of things. But, you know, you make a good point as to put the genie back in the bottle. I'll tell you another place that the genie is clearly out of the bottle is when it comes to social media. And we really want to regulate the way students are allowed to use that during class. So we call this the bell-to-bell ban in a lot of jurisdictions like California, where schools have been authorized to come up with policies and procedures to either ban or limit cell phone use during the time that school is in session. Now, Jeff, if you and I had been talking about this 5 years ago, as no doubt we were on one of your programs, it would have been a very different climate in terms of why parents want children to have cell phones. Nowadays, with so many school shootings and bullets flying, they want to be able to get a hold of their precious young ones right away. They don't want to have to go through school administration to try to see if their daughter or son is safe in middle school. They want to be able to get their son or daughter on the line imminently. So that complicates things a bit when you talk about schools banning something. They're going to have to perhaps find a middle ground where maybe you know, the cell phones have to be under the seat or they have to be off or whatever it is to be able to allow parents that kind of access. That's just one idea out there. It isn't a specific law yet, but schools do have the discretion to think outside the box on something like that.
That's one of the things. We've got a similar situation in my state where we have the phones are locked in boxes in certain school districts. You know, you deposit your phone in the morning, you come get it as you're leaving the day. And the biggest problem, I mean, a lot of the kids like it because it takes away the pressure that they feel. They don't get the buzz or hear a tone of a notification. And so truly it becomes out of sight, out of mind. It's the parents who want to keep tabs on the kids that are more of a problem. But as you note, and as we saw in the Brown University situation, that's how folks got a lot of good information pretty quickly as there was an active situation.
That's true. And, you know, the thing about cell phone bans is not only are they unworkable, but I'll give you another educational related, I suppose, downside to saying the kids can't use them. It's how do you enforce that? You really want to have the opportunity for students and teachers to form a bond. That's how teachers are on notice when a student is behaving unusually or they seem to be withdrawn. They're doodling and drawing guns on their notepad. You know, all these things that, that teachers notice. To really jeopardize the strength of that relationship by some level of suspicion, checking, monitoring, invading, check, you know, searching backpacks, all the ways in which sometimes students have, because legally they have a lesson, not they still have some, but they have a lesser expectation of privacy when school's in session. But to try to, you know, enforce things that you already know both parents and students want to do is just tough. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it because I like your idea of out of sight, out of mind. But then how do you get to the phones if, God forbid, there is a shooter or the school goes on lockdown? Are the phones going to be in the classroom where the students are, or are they some other building somewhere where they can't be accessed anyway? You know, it's a terrible thing that we already have to talk about these things, much less think about active shooter drills like schools already, some of them have, or metal detectors. But these are some of the things in which policies have to be worked out to where maybe there's a way that they follow the students around as they go to different classes, but they're kept by the teacher, as long as they're close enough to be able to be accessible if that classroom has to lock its doors. Maybe that's where the middle ground is.
Attorney and national news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. She's on the Twitter X machine at Wendy Patrick PhD. WendyPatrickPhD.com is the website. There are a lot of laws that are well-meaning. So, for example, a number of states have put some of these SNAP restrictions on junk food. In other words, if you're getting the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, you get the card. You're not supposed to use it for soda pop and candy and all of these things. Here's the downside, as I understand it. You can go across the river. In my case, it's from Iowa to Illinois. You can go to the adjacent state and use the card on whatever you want. And so this, you can only regulate between the borders. As I understand it, these cards can be used anywhere. And so now you've got all manner of different traffic patterns. You can only enforce the behavior or try to model the behavior or affect the behavior so far.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you and I talked about this when marijuana was being legalized in different states and how easy it was to just go to a state where it's legal and then, of course, then the complication is, how do you then bring it back into your state? Do you just smoke it there and then drive home? I mean, it's the same thing when you think about the ways in which different states are adopting different ways of, for example, of exercising the SNAP benefit rights. So we've long known that it's probably disfavored to have a cart full of soda pop and candy and, you know, and obviously you can't use it on things like alcohol and cigarettes. But there are some states where they, I don't want to say they turn the other way, but they just really don't engage in that sort of nutritional analysis when they look at what you buy. You don't just want to like only shop at Trader Joe's and never get anything with sugar in it. But where do you draw the line? So, yes, you have a number of states that have received waivers to ban the purchase of soda, candy, and here's the kicker, other unhealthy items. Who decides what that is? I mean, if you and I tried to hammer this out, you and I could have a conversation about what we do or don't think is healthy and what research says what. But it's really tough, and it would almost require somebody to really go out of their way, buy more gas, as expensive that is, to try to circumvent some of these rules. But I can tell you that suppose the heart's in the right place, is you want to make sure that people actually use those benefits for something that is going to be food items, not a bag full of chemicals. That's the counterargument.
Yeah, don't look in my grocery cart if you want healthy food. Let's close with this one. And this is something that those of us in radio and TV have heard complaints about from viewers and listeners for years. And it's a law in your state of California, that, and this will actually go into effect later this year, but video streaming services in California are banned from making the volume of commercials louder than the program. Well, good luck. We've been fighting that battle here for years, and a lot of it is just the impression of the audience. But that's an important point. I can show you the meters and show you that it's not necessarily louder. It's the type of message, but it affects the audience.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Jeff, because we've complained about that, I feel like, for decades, that, you know, a commercial comes on and it just blares. But, you know, commercials often interrupt very low-key, sort of peaceful screensavers or the kinds of sort of ambiance we have or the kinds of shows that we watch that, at our age at least, are not usually, you know, heavy metal, hard rock, the kinds of really loud things that come on. And, you know, you say it's the perception. Even if that's true, I want to say it's the perception of, like, 95 people who, like, just scramble for the remote to try to mute a commercial. So it's interesting. If, in fact, there isn't that decibel difference, this law probably wasn't needed. But I can tell you, it's amazing how many people in the last couple of days that I've been discussing the new laws have wanted to talk about this one. And, Jeff, before we go, let me just tell you the other one people want to talk about in California is the one that is going to be requiring tortillas to be healthier, because at least, you know, where I live in San Diego, that is a staple of our diet, is tortillas. Now you have to have 0.7 milligrams of folic acid per pound of corn flour because it is good for newborns and it is good for even the children in utero. What do you think about that? Looking out for the rights of the unborn here in California.
Well, at least in that respect. Goodness, again.
I knew you'd have a comeback to that. I agree with you. At least in that respect. Amen.
Well, thanks for putting it on the tee for me. Wendy, it is always a privilege, and I swear I see you on News Nation, Newsmax, Fox News. The only place I don't see is on the Shopping Channel, but you could with the book. I always find your insight to be so helpful. Happy New Year, and thanks for taking time today.
Happy New Year, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Wendy Patrick, PhD.com, the website, and again, her most recent book, Why Bad Looks Good, and you get it wherever you get your good books, and Dr. Wendy Patrick joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Kathy, I think you're still on the line from Oregon. Hold on, we'll get through this break and then take your call as we continue on this Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show. As we continue from the Liberty University studio on the Todd Starn Show, open line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's the number Kathy used to call in from Salem, Oregon. Kathy, thanks for holding on. Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Jeff. I wanted to talk about the Congress. I've been fretting over this for the past year.
Yeah.
Why don't they codify these EOs?
Yeah.
If they don't, I mean, so what I was calling for is I wanted to know your opinion. Are you able to say what you think the reason is?
Well, they're going to tell you that it's because they can't get the votes, and so there are other things that they need to take care of. In other words, well, the president already took care of this, and so we can focus on other things. Well, my problem, Kathy, is they're not focusing on the other things. I don't see leadership coming from out there. Now, I've never served in Congress. I have no idea. I'm sure it's very difficult, but I don't even see the attempt, and that's really discouraging. What do you think? How do you feel about it all?
I'm actually, I hate to say, but I'm a little bit ignorant about how it operates, too. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we know that the executive orders can be overturned by the next person to come in. And so you have to pass some of these things as laws if you want the policy to be changed. But have you contacted your member of Congress's office to find out why they're not doing more to, if they say they support the president's agenda, to actually do more than talk about it?
Do you think it would help when my senator is Ron Wyden?
Well, at the very least, you have to try. This is my feeling. Okay. I understand. You know, when you're running your head against a brick wall, I get it. But my feeling is that you have to at least try and let them know, because then they can't just say, well, nobody said they cared about this, et cetera. The problem is, when you elect a president who says, this is what I want to do, you got to have team members to go along. And I'm just afraid that there aren't enough of the faithful in Congress right now.
Can you imagine how quickly we would turn this thing around if everybody would just be on board with doing the right thing? It would go so fast.
It would, but here's the problem. And I hate to say it, but there are a lot of people with the R by their name for Republicans who can't wait for Donald Trump to get out of the way, because they are not true believers. They want to be part of that muddy middle again. Kathy, this was such a smart call. Thank you for taking the time to call in from Salem. We're up against the break at the bottom of the hour, and I got to stick to the clock. We'll talk a little more about this after this bottom of the hour break. Join in, 901-260-5926. From the Liberty University studio, this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Thanks for being along. Open Line Friday, your calls the rest of the way at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And in our last segment, we heard from Kathy in Salem, Oregon, and she wanted to know why we're having such a problem with members of Congress passing key points of the president's agenda, like codifying these executive orders. All right, here it is. The number one goal of any politician, any elected official, their number one goal is to get elected. Their number two goal is to get reelected. Somewhere in there might be, oh, help the constituents, blah, blah, blah. But again, their number one goal as a private citizen is to get elected. Their number two goal is to get reelected. If they thought it was in their best political interest, then they would take action. But I don't think there are enough of them that truly believe in the Make America Great Again movement. And so instead of saying, Mr. Trump has signed all of these executive orders, we need to make sure the next person in, regardless of party affiliation, we got to make sure that next person in does not change it, does not revert back, does not walk back these things. We need to pass laws. But they don't do it. And I'm tired of hearing, well, we don't yet have the votes. I'm tired of hearing it's a small majority. I'm tired of hearing that the Democrats are obstructionists. Grow a spine. Introduce the bill. I'd like to see one Republican in Congress just say, you know what? It does not cost me anything to introduce a bill. Right? There's no filing fee. So how about we draft legislation to make executive order number one law? And then we'll draft legislation to make executive order number two law. I'm fine if you pick them by what you think is most important. I'm fine if you do it numerically. I'm fine if you do it by oldest to newest, newest to oldest. I don't care. Just do something. But instead, all they are doing, and I said this earlier, and I firmly believe it, because I'm seeing races in my area and all around the country. They're elbowing each other to get to the front of a microphone to say, I am the strongest supporter of Donald Trump. Prove it. Tell me how. Well, I endorsed him early on. Okay, that's nice. What have you done lately? What have you done when it counted? What are you doing to advance the agenda? And so my suspicion is there are just not enough of these folks who want to attach themselves to any of the president's substantive actions. And it's almost a reverse, if you will. I mean, you could say that you don't like how Mr. Trump does certain things, but you love his policies. Heard that from various voters. Yeah, you know, he's kind of brash, but we like the policies. This is stupidly the reverse, where these people say, I'm a great supporter, but then they don't do anything. Try doing something. No bill is ever going to get passed unless it's introduced. Okay, that's fundamental. Well, I don't know if the speaker would like it. Tough. Don't care. I have heard for a decade, I have heard Republicans are going to repeal and replace Obamacare. Okay, with what? You're all so smart. With what? Come up with something. Well, we can't really agree on a plan. Try something. And I think there are some good folks out there who are really getting frustrated because that swamp is thick and deep. I just hope they don't lose the faith. And I think that's why you see so many people who are leaving Washington and running for office in their home states. The thought that this place is a mess, I can't do anything here, but I could get a lot of work done at home. Well, the problem they're going to have is I, as a voter, am going to say, what have you done for me? You're a great supporter of Mr. Trump? Okay, tell me how. Tell me what you did. Well, I've got a photo with him that I'm using in my campaign materials. Oh, okay. And you'll have a photo with somebody else the next time. It's meaningless. Let's see some action. And I understand, again, the concept that it's hard to get things done with a small majority and Democrats. And okay, fine. Just try. Show me you're trying. Now, I remember there was a situation, because here's the thing, if you don't try, you're sure going to be left out in the cold. I remember a situation, and it must have been, oh, I guess the summer of 2018, so we were going into the midterm election of Mr. Trump's first year. And I was at an event, it was a fundraising event for an incumbent Republican member of Congress. And Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House, and he came by and said a few words to whip up the faithful. Okay. Now, keep in mind, at that point, as is the case today anyway, my state has two Republican U.S. senators. And so here's Paul Ryan talking about all of the laws that had been passed by the House, all of the bills that had been passed by the House, that the Senate, which was in Republican hands, was not taking up. And he literally said, don't blame House members. You know, if you're upset about nothing getting done in Washington, we are too. But don't hold it against your incumbent congressman because he's a good guy. And we just need more Republican senators to tip the balance. And, well, I guess you guys have done the best you can by voting for two. But we, don't blame us. We've got all these bills standing on the doorstep of the Senate. Well, again, what party's in charge? So if the best you've got is to say, yes, we're all of the same party, but we're not getting along, we're not all rowing in the same direction, that's not going to lead to electoral success, and it's sure not going to lead to success in governing. So my very deep fear is that you have a lot of people with an R by their name who are happy to say they support Mr. Trump if it helps them get reelected, But when you actually say, what have you done? They're quiet. Because they want the benefit. They don't want to have to work for it. And that is a truly missed opportunity. Now, before we do the break, let me point out, the Democrats mindlessly go lockstep. And I don't like that either. I mean, I don't like this idea of lack of independent thought. So I'm not suggesting that just because you have an R by your name, you have to always fall in line on every single issue. But be honest about it. And if you're not there to fully advance the president's agenda, and he is far more popular than any member of Congress, certainly as the aggregate. What did the recent aggregation of polls show? 22% of Americans like Congress, and it's closer to 50% for the president. You know, hello, guys and gals, get in line. You want to be part of the winning team. But the fact that they're not, that there's this disconnect, that's what really concerns me. To a very large degree, they have messed around and frittered away the first year of the presidency. Oh, you know, we got the reconciliation bill, big, beautiful bill. Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of credit for that because you stopped income taxes from going up. Yes, that's true. You stopped them from going up. But for most of us, it's just going to be the same. We're not going to see any change. So what have you done to move the agenda forward? You couldn't figure out a way to get your 12 appropriation bills through the House and make it the Senate's problem? I don't know where the biggest problem is. I used to think it was the House, but I've got no love for the Senate at the moment either. Isn't that terrible? It's a new year. I'm supposed to be full of enthusiasm. I'm supposed to feel real positive. Friends, what I'm positive about is, if House and Senate doesn't get its act together, they are going to lose a golden opportunity to reclaim this nation because they've got a leader in the White House. And anybody listening who does not like what Mr. Trump is doing or what he stands for, you cannot say he is not a leader and he is not trying to accomplish what he said he would do. The most ardent Democrats have to admit that's a leader. He's pushing to get things done. Where's the help? 901-260-5926. One more segment of the program to start the new year from the Liberty University studio. Love to hear from you. 901-260-5926. Short break now. Back on the other side for one more segment on this Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. And again, we'll be back in a few moments on The Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926. That's the number that Bonnie used to call in from Texas. Thanks so much. Happy New Year, Bonnie. How are you?
Well, Happy New Year to you. I think we're going to be okay. But the American Patriots are just sick and tired of the government not doing anything. They're not doing anything. I mean, look at the Epstein situation. All this redaction stuff and Pam Bondi, they're saying that, you know, they got criminal incarcerations happening. Well, that didn't happen under her. That was in 22. And, you know, and it's like we're being gaslighted every step of the way. And we're sick of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, that's why it's hard for me to talk about this stuff because I get all worked up about it and screws around with my blood pressure. But what can we do about it, Bonnie? I mean, does the president know, do you think?
Honestly, I think it's their goal to get us on edge, to divide us as a nation. They're doing everything they can to divide us. The word racist has lost all meaning. They just haphazardly throw that word out there. It's lost all meaning. And, you know, I don't know. I love President Trump. I voted for him three times now. But, and I know that we have ways of getting stuff done, but it doesn't seem like they're doing anything. And, you know, the American people are on edge about it. We're just sick and tired of being gaslighted and lied to and kept in the dark. You know, release Epstein's files. Let us know who these creeps are that are out there, you know, molesting children.
Well, the thing is, it's an easy one, right? Just release it, and you're done with it. But all of this, you know, we just found a million documents. Well, how do you just find a million documents? I mean, there's no credibility on any side on this.
And then they have to secretly go through this investigation now that they've got new documents, you know? And it's just like, we're sick of it out here. We're tired of just the government just sitting on their thumbs. This Minnesota thing.
Yeah.
You know, the fraud up there taking place. This Nick Shirley guy's getting death threats because he's trying to expose the fraud.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know what we do about it. I don't know what we do about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Bonnie, first, thanks for the call. I'm so glad you did take the time to call in. What we do about it is to keep speaking like you just did and keep calling in and keep talking to your friends and neighbors. That's the best thing we can do. Bonnie, thanks so much for the call from Texas. It's been a tough year for a lot of people, 2025. Started with a lot of promise, then it went up and down. One of the hardest in MyPillow's history as well, but thanks to loyal listeners like you, Mike Lindell and the folks at MyPillow are still standing strong, and I'll tell you, it totally changed my life. Nobody's paying me to say it, but once I got a MyPillow, I started sleeping through the night without pain, and it's tremendous. So to show their appreciation for how you have been loyal, how about this? You can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-pack for just $29.98. My slippers with a free, my favorite four-letter word, a free bottle of leather protectant spray, that's only $39.98. Blankets, comforters, duvets, all starting as low as $25, plus a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow, $14.98. Not a typo. Pretty good deal. Visit MyPillow.com. Call 800-839-8506. Doesn't matter. MyPillow.com or pick up the phone, 800-839-8506. Now use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. Once again, the standard MyPillow, originally $49.98, now it's just $14.98. Queen sizes marked down to $18.99. King sizes only a dollar more. 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. You won't be sorry. MyPillow.com. 800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. All right, so how do we let them know that we're sick and tired of this stuff? You speak up however you can. You let Democrats know if they happen to be your representative or your senator. You let them know how you feel. Because you know they're hearing from their side. You know they're hearing from the paid activists. And it is well time that we ordinary Americans let them know what we think. I don't know if the Epstein stuff makes any difference or not. I don't know. I know the fact that both sides are acting really weird about it. That makes my spidey sense tingle a little bit. But how about you people in government actually work for the American people? Stop trying to cover up the corruption. How about you actually do your jobs? How about you actually figure a way to get rid of the corruption? I love the fact that the government is now freezing all sorts of big money to places like Minnesota. We're not going to give you any money through SBA or through some of the other programs until you can show us that it's being spent right. It's the only way to get people's attention, because these people love money and power and the power that money brings. Hit them where they live. Expose it. And most importantly, do your job, not with an eye toward reelection, but with an eye toward actually serving the people that you say you want to represent. Keep speaking up, folks. It's the only way to do it. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Dylan, for all of your great assistance back in Memphis. Mr. Starnes, hope I didn't cause you too much problem today. It's always a privilege to sit behind this microphone and talk with all of you in Starnes Nation. From the Liberty University studio, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Have a fantastic weekend. This has been the Todd Starnes Show.